Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast. It is August 31st, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast includes stories about CCP 12, a COVID update, Gary Gensler's regulatory onslaught, and more from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Today, CCP 12 officially became CCP Global, though their long name is the Global Association for Central Counterparties. This is the global organization headquartered in Amsterdam that represents clearinghouses, and the rebrand was decided at their annual meeting in Bangkok on June 13th, 2023. CCP Global represents 42 members who operate more than 60 individual CCPs globally across EMEA, the Americas, and the Asia-Pacific region. The new website for CCP Global is ccp-global.org. As we head into fall, it is good to take a look at the current state of COVID-19, which is seeing a resurgence in recent weeks. According to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, hospitalizations were up 18.8% in the recent week. Deaths were up 21.4% in the most recent week and represented 1.7% of all deaths. The total number of deaths attributed to COVID is 1,138,602, while the total number of hospitalizations is 6,272,227. You can dig deeper into the data with a link for the CDC COVID data tracker. The United States is working on a national alert system. You know those annoying alerts you get on your television? Well, that's coming to your cell phone. The New York Times reports every television, radio, and cell phone in the United States is going to broadcast a message on October 4th along the lines of, "This is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed." The test alert will be sent out around 2:20 Eastern Time. The test will be conducted by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, working in coordination with the Federal Communications Commission. JLN recently published a video interview I conducted with Cassini System founder and CEO Liam Huxley, and yesterday on LinkedIn I posted three separate video snippets from the interview. The videos can be seen with links in today's newsletter. In the videos, Huxley discusses the origin of Cassini Systems, how to be effective in doing what Cassini is solving for, and the technology challenges of combining so many different data sets. So many different moving parts. FIA posted to LinkedIn August 2023 highlights with the subheading FIA Leaders on Top Priorities for FIA, Proposed Capital Requirements in the U.S., and a new report on non-default losses at CCPs. Connemara has a new monthly newsletter called The Agilist. The August edition includes book recommendations, how to ace the software engineering test, leading brokerage replaces 100% of the firm's OTC swap business with hedge management platform, and an interview with CEO Jim Downs on 25 years of entrepreneurship. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN Options were the SEC releases new information regarding a FINRA rule change for options trading, hedge funds have made a huge push into risky assets, here's what that means, and a surge in hedge fund treasury shorts hints at a rise of basis trade. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. The press release from CCP Global. The Global Association of Counterparties adopts its new name and branding from CCP 12 to CCP Global. Today, the Global Association of Central Counterparties officially adopts its new name and branding as CCP Global. The full name will remain the Global Association of Central Counterparties. For years, the association has used CCP 12 as its name, reflecting an early core group of 12 CCPs who established the association in 2001. The decision was taken during the annual general meeting in Bangkok in Thailand on the 13th of June 2023 and becomes effective as of the 31st of August 2023. The rebranding signifies the association's enduring commitment to advancing collaboration and innovation among central counterparties globally. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, Gary Gensler unleashes biggest SEC regulatory blitz since financial crisis. U.S. watchdog has proposed 47 rules affecting market participants under Chair's leadership. U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission Gary Gensler has hit the financial sector with more new major rules and regulatory proposals than any predecessor since the response to the 2008 global financial crisis, a new tally shows. Gensler's SEC has put forward 47 proposals that substantially affect market participants and adopted 22 of them in the first 850 days of his leadership. Ending August 15th, the Committee on Capital Markets Regulation calculated. My comment. Gary Gensler likes to keep the SEC, or previously his CFTC staff, drinking from a fire hose as new rules are proposed. It is also the Regulatory Attorney Employment Act of 2023. Here is a story from the Financial Times. The headline, The Age of Prediction. Where will algorithms take us? An ambitious study explores the problems and paradoxes arising from the startling breakthrough of AI. Quote, humanity has entered a new era, unquote. That is the bold claim with which quant investor Igor Tulkinsky and Cornell professor of genomics Christopher E. Mason begin the new age of prediction, their ambitious new survey of how predictive algorithms are changing the world. Its publication could barely be better timed. The public first became aware that something big was happening in the world of AI back in 2016, when Google DeepMind's AlphaGo program defeated the reigning world champion at Go. 4 years later, the company's AlphaFold program solved one of the biggest puzzles in modern biology, the challenge of predicting the molecular structure into which problems fold, based only on the sequences of their constituent amino acids. My comment, this is exactly why I try to stay unpredictable. But then you knew I was going to say that. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was SEC denial of Grayscale Bitcoin fund was arbitrary and capricious, rules DC Court of Appeals, a summary of the SEC Grayscale decision from Catton. Second was the gambler who beat roulette from Bloomberg. Third was the job application for a learning and development specialist position at Geneva Trading. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times. The headline, little evidence that a spot Bitcoin ETF would expand the market. BlackRock's application and Grayscale's court victory stirred the crypto world. But such investment vehicles look very vanilla. You don't have to want to invest in Bitcoin to be in favor of U.S. regulators giving their approval to a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund. You can disapprove of other people putting their money into the cryptocurrency, but defend the idea of the Securities and Exchange Commission should let them, perhaps not to the death. We don't need to all go Voltaire about this, but you get the idea. And then here's a story from the Financial Times. UBS breaks banking industry record with $29 billion profit after Credit Suisse takeover. Swiss bank plans to complete integration and make $10 billion of cost cuts by 2026. UBS has reported the biggest ever quarterly profit for a bank after recording a $29 billion gain linked to its takeover of Credit Suisse. The Swiss lender announced the figures on Thursday as it said it would press ahead with absorbing Credit Suisse's domestic business despite local and political opposition to a deal that is expected to result in thousands of job cuts and branch disclosures. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, UBS gets everything it wants from Credit Suisse. Swiss bank confirmed a huge accounting gain from buying its rival and said it would retain Credit Suisse's money-making domestic unit despite political backlash. Not only has UBS notched a huge profit in buying its rival Credit Suisse, but it looks like it will keep the best bits of its no matter what politicians said. On Thursday, the Swiss bank reported its highest profit ever for the second quarter of the year. Net earnings came in at $29 billion, almost all of it attributable to $29 billion of bad will, the difference between UBS's fresh estimate of Credit Suisse's book value and the paltry $3.6 billion it paid to acquire the bank earlier this year. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.